Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. First and foremost, my apologies for having such a long layoff between the divisional round game, the loss to the Chiefs, and the first show afterwards, but fighting some sort of a respiratory issue. I did not feel like you guys would want to listen to me cough about every 30 to 45 seconds, and it would have definitely made it difficult for me to edit any of these, and probably would have taken this long to get one up anyways after editing for hours upon end. So just wanted to come back and thank you guys all. First and foremost, wanted to thank you guys all for the excellent support and stuff throughout the season, throughout even last off season here on the Colts cast. You guys have been great. Love the feedback, love the energy and everything else that you guys have given to the show, and appreciate you guys quite a bit. So just quickly, we'll talk about the Colts final game, you know, the Chiefs. There wasn't really much to, you know, kind of, this was very similar to, in terms of, you know, offense, it was very similar to what we saw in the Jaguars game with the Colts, you know, staggering out of the gate terribly, no offense, constantly three and outs over and over and over. They get the blocked punt for the touchdown, a touchdown later on in the game. And ultimately, I mean, the Colts played better in the second half, but their defense in the first half was lacking. It was a struggle throughout the entire game. The Colts looked like they were playing in a blizzard, while the Chiefs looked right at home. And they, you know, for being at home, of course they felt like that. But the Colts just really looked out of sorts through most of that game. It was a kind of a disappointing way to end the season. But you look back on this season, and it was an excellent, excellent year. For it to kind of go out like that, you know, most, I think, of what I saw on social media and just in personal interactions with people, a lot of it was, you know, what a crappy way to go out, 31-13 to, you know, a team that a lot of people thought that the Colts had a real shot at, you know, making a real run at that game. And I was one of them. I thought that the Colts had a real shot to win that game. Their defense had stood up for them for so long. The Colts offense had been so impressive, you know, throughout the second half of the season. And it just seemed like everything was kind of falling into place for the Colts to really kind of, I mean, for lack of better phrases here, shock the world. But, you know, that didn't happen, obviously. The Colts were beat by a better team. I would say that the Colts were outcoached a little bit here, but this isn't a shot at Frank Reich by any means. And I think a lot of people really kind of took to this approach as that, you know, Frank Reich dropped the ball, he wasn't doing this, he wasn't doing that, kind of the play calling. But look, you look at the, what, first five, six, I don't know, first 28 minutes of the game, and there wasn't really much of an opportunity for him to call the game any different, I don't think. Some people cited that, you know, they didn't kind of lean on the run game, and I kind of agree with that a little bit, but you've got to find some momentum in that game. I mean, literally three and out every single possession it was in the first half, and it was just not pretty. That makes it really difficult for a coach to call a game. I'll give him that. And even worse, when you've got kind of nothing really gelling, you know, Lux getting balls batted down, guys are dropping balls, or they're off target, or the running game isn't, you know, is getting stopped in the backfield, or Lux getting pressured and sacked, and the some of the offensive line blocking was kind of spotty. You know, that all that stuff contributes to a really terrible first half. And, you know, the second half, like I said, defensively the Colts were better. They weren't really all that much better offensively. I mean, the Chiefs kind of leaned a little bit back. I mean, they were up 24-0 before the Colts put anything on the board. So, I mean, you can look at the Vinatieri missed field goal. You can look at the missed extra point. You can look at the Colts, you know, getting the strip sack there right after they force a turnover. Darius Leonard forces a turnover, and the Colts get strip sacked inside the 20. All of that contributes. All that makes for a really rough game and a hell of a hard way to win. You know, if a couple things go different, if the Colts do score on the right after they force a fumble there, does that help? Does the Vinny field goal help? Sure. I mean, that all puts things into a different category. Not only does it make the game a little closer, but it might change the way also that the Chiefs were calling their game. So, I mean, when the Chiefs are up, you know, a significant 2 and 3 scores, they're not calling the game as if they're trying to go down and necessarily put the throat or their feet on the throat of the Colts. If the Colts start to come back a little bit, things change. But also, I think things change for the Colts. So there's a lot of different ways you can look at that game. There's a lot of different ways you can look at how it was coached, how it was played. Obviously, not well executed. But all in all, it's a rough loss. But, man, it is, I mean, kind of somewhat comforting, I guess you could say, as a Colts fan, in the end, to look back on this and say, terrible way to end the season. Kind of felt a little bit like 2014 when the Colts went to Foxborough, got to the AFC Championship game, and just got rocked, you know, by the Patriots. So it was a season where nobody expected them to be in this position to begin with. And of course, once you're there, you want the team to stand up. You want them to play to their ability or what they've shown and what they've shown their potential to be. I get that. Everybody gets that. The fact is, it just didn't happen. This was an easy, I think, easy for me to kind of smooth out in my head. It sucked because I was really pumped about this game. But when you look back, like I said, you look back at the reality of the situation, how everything started, how it came to finish towards the end of the season, it's really hard to kind of, I mean, even as a fan, and forgive the expression, but to hang your head about one game. You know, it just was for me. I just didn't find the necessity in that, I suppose, you know. So I'm not too upset about the game. It was a rough way to lose on the season. But, man, this was such an impressive year for the Colts. We got Andrew Luck back. Not only did he come back, you know, they started off so slow. The Colts weren't doing anything through the air. They had two games of their first three where they had less than 200 passing yards. They were just not a team that looked like they were going to be all that competitive. As everybody's talked about, they went 1-5 starting the first six games and then, you know, rattled off 10 of their next 11. An impressive year all the way around, from rookie contribution to what we feel like we've got with head coach in Frank Reich. I think a lot of people, any concerns that anybody had about the 2017 draft class, were kind of nixed a little bit with Chris Ballard's 2018 group. A lot, like I said, a lot of contribution from that group. We have a lot still that is left to be determined, of course. But all in all, Colts fans have to be extremely excited about the future. I have a hard time saying, you know, there's always next year, or, you know, next year it's going to come, what we're going to get from next year, you know, this and that. There's all these things, and it makes me feel like the Chicago Cubs fan base almost, and I don't like saying that. But just saying in general, finding the hope in the future of this team is really exciting. Because you're seeing some pieces start to fall in place with a group of guys up front like Denico Autry, Marcus Hunt, even a couple in kind of no-name guys, you know, like Stewart up on the defensive line. And just kind of the way that this whole group kind of came to be, I guess you could say. Jabal Sheard, kind of a guy who a lot of people are saying he's kind of the lifeblood of that front four a little bit with his, you know, abilities and leadership. And, you know, we've still got guys on the team like Al-Kadeen Muhammad, who finished the year pretty strong, had 5 tackles for loss, you know, throughout the season. I just thought he had a really nice year. And, you know, Marcus Hunt ended up with 5 sacks. Sheard ended up with 5.5. Leonard, a linebacker, was 7, a rookie. You know, Kamoko Ture ended with 4, a rookie. Tyquan Lewis had 2 and only played in 8 games, you know, and didn't play in the final one. So, I mean, there is a lot to be excited about. There's naturally going to be some significant turnover, you know, in this season. We saw Hassan Ridgeway getting a little more playing time towards the end. We just saw a bit of a mix of everybody being involved in this team, whether it be young, a few years in the league, and not really any sort of standout, or a veteran, you know, that came and played well, or, you know, some of the late season additions like Mike Mitchell, who was important and played really good football for the Colts. We've got these guys free agents, you know, coming up. And this is going to be, I think, a really interesting year trying to see and figure out and understand how the mix is going to be of who they let go, who they want to bring back, who they desire really, you know, long term. Some of these younger guys, is a guy like Hassan Ridgeway going to be sticking around? You know, I mean, simple stuff like that. Who are some of the veteran guys that they may want to re-sign? You know, we're going to go through all of that here in the next couple weeks, the course of the next couple weeks. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through each position. We're going to talk about each position, who I think that the Colts should keep, who they should let go, which free agents should not be re-signed, who should be re-signed, so on and so forth. We're going to go through all of this stuff throughout the next couple weeks. And that's going to give us a little bit of content here to talk about. Even some of the forgotten guys like Mathias Farley, you know, Najee Good, some of these guys who kind of were forgotten throughout the season after other guys stepped up or, you know, they went to IR, which is the case of Farley. So, I mean, just a lot to talk about. We have some interesting guys that are hitting the block, so to speak, hitting the free agent wire, should the Colts not re-sign them. And it's just going to be a very interesting offseason this year. Look, we talked a lot at the beginning of the season about Colts are going to win 5, 6, 8 games. And then, you know, we're going to have this big talk about all the draft stuff, everything coming up, and who the Colts are going to draft, what positions are going to draft. And it's just not turning out that way. I mean, the Colts had a hell of a season. So it's not as if the Colts didn't come to play and were looking for all these replacements. Colts finished, including the playoffs, 11-7, guys. That is not what many of us thought. I mean, 10-6 was, I believe, a game higher than what I had them. I thought that their best bet was 9-7. And if you remember, throughout the early portions of this season and probably even in the preseason, the reason that I figured that is I think I told you guys, with Andrew Luck back and healthy, that the Colts are automatically, with nothing else being considered, a 500 team. And I said, where are those other wins going to come from? Those wins have to either come from coaching decisions, excellent play from not necessarily unsuspecting guys, but just somebody else, whether it be the defense in general, playmakers, you know, something like that has to make get a few wins on here, or a win or 2 wins. Who's going to account for those wins? Because like I said, with the roster, Andrew Luck had this team at a 500 team, and I think that that's fairly accurate from what I was talking about at the beginning of the season. I would say that Frank Reich had a large part in that. I would say the defense had a large part in that. Maybe the team was even 7-9 type of consideration with just Andrew Luck back this year. He had some good games. He had a few bad games. He had a lot of really good games, but he had a couple bad games too. And then you look at the defense, the way that they played and turned over everybody. And then you look at the play calling from Frank Reich. Those were major factors, and I think that that combination just in general. Now, we could go into very real specifics here and dive into each and every game of this year and say who won this game or who was responsible for this game. But I think that's pretty accurate between the defense and the coach and the coaching staff. I'll even give Eberflus and some of the other position coaches some love there because they did a great job this year. I think that's worth 2, 3, maybe even 4 wins on the season. I mean, I think that most of you would probably agree with that in some area or another. So I think that what we saw was a really nice combination of Andrew Luck coming back and looking like himself and better than himself. We saw coaching staff. We saw a defense get riled up. We saw a defensive coordinator in Matt Eberflus that really kind of stood up on his own and took the reins of that defense and really made it a lot better than a lot of us thought, including myself. I was not hype about the Tampa 2 look, but he did enough as the season wore on to where he could start throwing some blitzes in there. We saw Kenny Moore get some action on blitzes. Last year it was Nate Hairston. Different scheme, I get that, but you see what I mean. Kenny Moore was used in that role. So we saw a little bit of everything kind of come to turn this team in this season into something that was very much worth watching. Took the country by storm, guys. I mean, ultimately, what are we talking about? I mean, this going through ESPN, any of the news and sports channels that you listen to, what did you hear? You heard, boy, the Colts defense, Andrew Luck, Frank Reich. Looking at this, I mean, the people were picking the Colts over the Chiefs. That's not something any of us would have guessed ever at the beginning of the season. And I don't mean the Chiefs, but in the divisional round to go to the AFC Championship game. That was not something that any of us expected. That was not something that any of us would have thought could even be possible this year. Nobody said that the Colts were going to go to the AFC Championship game. Not a single person. I mean, if you did, you were just talking out of both sides of your mouth probably and being just an overly anxious fan. And that's fun too. But you didn't say it with seriousness. We'll say that. So we look at all the things and all the factors that went into this season. And man, I tell you what, it was a great ride. It was a lot of fun to watch. It is exciting for next year. But just in general, it's exciting for the future of this organization and this team. And to watch the growth and the building of this roster and hoping that this can continue. Can Ballard strike gold again with another guy like Darius Leonard and kind of a, you know, pull a guy out from underneath the sheets that nobody else is really looking at, being called the worst pick in the draft, turning out to be an all-pro linebacker. You know, can that happen? Can the Colts maybe find a guy who is impactful on the defensive side, the defensive front, as Quentin Nelson was impactful on the offensive line, you know, next year, this draft? Will the Colts be extremely aggressive in free agency? We all heard what Chris Ballard said, you know, kind of in his year-end press conference the other day. And, you know, Chris, I mean, there's a few articles out there on different sites that, you know, Ballard's going to stay the course or this and that and the other. And Ballard, by the way, how about that little news here that, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw executive of the year. Very well deserved. I mean, I think that we all knew he was in the running for that. But then look at, you know, kind of, is he going to be able to continue all this? I think that he will overall. But how, you know, he's not going to hit on that many draft picks every single year. I think that's just extremely unlikely and highly against the law of averages when you look at how impressive this group was. You know, we saw a little bit of what Coach Reich had to say with his letter to the fans, kind of discussing the course of the season and how it broke itself down. That was fun to read. I mean, it was kind of what we've heard from him in his press conference to all the way throughout the season, you know, as this 1-0 mantra kind of took hold for the team. So it was a lot of fun. I mean, this was a season that was a lot of fun. The Colts still have 2 picks in the top, 35? I think the Jets are the 3rd pick, maybe the 4th pick in the 2nd round. So the Colts have, you know, 2 picks in the, you know, what, between the 20s and the 30s. So that's going to be fun to watch kind of how that kind of, you know, brings itself to the draft. It's going to be another exciting year in off season. And aside from free agency, who the Colts bring in and kind of what I was getting at, I got off target a little bit here, but Ballard talking about free agency, they're going to have to be, in air quotes, more aggressive this year. They've got $100 and some odd million available to them after free agency starts. After some of these guys that they don't re-sign, they're going to have more. You know, they're going to have a ton. So, I mean, I just don't see a lot of the guys that they re-sign. Maybe they re-sign Pierre Desir. I don't think he'd be all that expensive, but he was a nice contributor for the Colts. He is 28, though. You know, that kind of stuff kind of is going to play in here. But he was a hell of a player for the Colts this year. So what do they do? Do they keep him and then add to him? I think they probably – I think that's a very real possibility, I guess is what I'm saying. Some of these guys that we probably think, eh, they can live without him. Why not keep him and then build around what they've got? See just kind of what happens. I mean, we saw so many moves early in the season. Hankins, you know, getting released. Nobody liked that. John Simon getting released. Nobody liked that. I was one, you know, at least in the Hankins. I honestly don't remember what my opinion was about Simon. I don't think that it was that big of a deal, but he was a big locker room guy, so I'm sure that I had, you know, a couple reservations about that. But Hankins was a big guy that I really liked and wanted to see stick around. But we saw so much of that. And you know what we saw? We saw the vision of Chris Ballard and kind of what that's going to be built like through the course of his tenure here in Indianapolis. We're going to see him probably keep some of these guys around. We're going to see the draft. We're going to see the free agency period. We're going to see other stuff happen. And then we're going to start seeing the roster take shape, like really take shape. The guys that we think might be on the roster, you know, this after following the draft, may not be on the roster come week one or preseason week one even. The Chris Ballard's a roster turner, and that is always interesting. So there is not, I mean, we're not going to have, and just like this year is a perfect example, we're not going to have a real idea of what next year's roster looks like until next year is officially here week one. And even then, it's going to change a lot throughout the course of the season. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a ride. It's going to be typical. If this is typical Chris Ballard and what he decides to do with how he builds this team, this is going to be a blast because he sees what he wants. He sees and hears from the coaching staff and what they want, and they talk and they figure out who they can execute all these game plans with, and it's going to be fun. I'm excited. There's a couple things that we need to talk about real quick. Dave DeGuglielmo, the offensive line coach for the Colts, was let go. The assistant offensive line coach was also let go. Some candidates are sparking up on that. I'll be honest with you, not real schooled on who the top offensive line coaches are in the NFL that are going to become available. I know that the Philadelphia Eagles were making some roster moves. That could possibly be an area where Frank Reich, I think, looks to add some coaching staff, you know, some additions to the coaching staff. So there are a lot of things that are going to happen in the next few weeks, months, or month and a half. I mean, we are, you know, in the middle of January, and we've got, you know, very little time until free agency starts, couple months, 2.5 months, whatever it is, 3 months until the draft. So it is going to be exciting and it's going to be fun. And I'm pretty ready for all this offseason to kick off, because there is really very little offseason with this. There are spaces in between happenings, but there is always something happening, it seems like, in the NFL all the way up until, you know, I mean, training camp starts and all this other stuff. It's just going to be really fun to watch this team grow. And I think that this is great for the Colts fan base. I truly do, because the Colts fan base is pretty fickle, guys. There's no escaping that. You talk to people, do you see them 1-5 all of a sudden, you know, 6-7 games into this winning streak that the Colts have over the course of their final, you know, 10-11 games, all of a sudden they want to talk about the Colts again. You know, that's just the way that this fan base rolls. It's okay. It's okay. You know, I won't go as far as to call a lot of them fair weather fans. I just think that the Colts organization, it's not a stale or a stalwart, so to speak, in the NFL. They're not the Bears. You know, they're not whatever. I mean, you can even say the Patriots or some of these other teams or the Packers that are going to have, you know, these hundreds and hundreds of thousands of diehard fans at every corner of your intersection where you live. That's just not how it works. Indianapolis is somewhat of a small market, but they've got a strong fan base with the group that really stays loyal. It's just not the high numbers that a lot of the other fan bases or the other NFL organizations can claim. With that, though, Chris Ballard, the movement of this team, Frank Reich, all these things are going to keep the fans excited, and it's going to keep people around. One of the things that I wonder about, and this is kind of, for example, you know, the question of certain quarterbacks, for example. Like, I wonder next year, truthfully, is Patrick Mahomes going to continue to play like this, or is this a one-year kind of, you know, thing? Our team's going to figure him out. And I wonder the same thing with Frank Reich and his play calling. Did he have a great year because it was his first year calling plays, or did he have a great year because he's a really good play caller? Same thing with Matt Eberflus. He was getting head coaching looks. Is Matt Eberflus going to be able to withstand the success that he had this year and be able to turn that into success next year? These will be things that we'll have to see, but nevertheless, all of this is going to be exciting for next year. I want to see this offensive line grow. I want to see Andrew Luck continue to grow and get better. Like, I really want to see Andrew Luck take another step, too. He played awesome this year. I just really want to see him take the next step to where there aren't these massive inconsistencies in his game, from playing great the entire game to just an absolute boneheaded play. I want to see those go away. That's what he's going to have to do to be considered one of the greats, right? Not only win a Super Bowl, he's going to have to clean that up. Some of the guys, we just don't see that from. You know, we don't see that from Breeze. We don't see it from, you know, guys like Brady or Rodgers or, you know, some of the other guys that have been in the league and that are often talked about in that generation's top five quarterbacks. We need Andrew Luck to get there. And we all know that he's got it. He's got the ability to do it. But we need to see him do it on the field. And, you know, he's carried this team several times on his shoulders. We want to see him carry himself for once completely and just worry about making the right throws all the time. And that is incredibly ridiculous of me and anybody else out there listening to this that thinks that that is normal, because that's not. You're not considered one of the greats because you're normal. And if he doesn't become one of the greats, that's okay, because he's a hell of a good quarterback, and the Colts still have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, even if he has these little flaws in his game where they occasionally pop up and just happen to pop up at bad times. There are so many things defensively that I'm looking forward to. I want to see that Darius Leonard can continue his play in the next season. I want to see this revamped defensive line. I want to see a stronger secondary. I want to see a little more physicality with them at the line of scrimmage, to where this cover two can kind of take hold and give the safeties and give that Mike linebacker a little more time to cover and stronger at the line of scrimmage with the corners, you know, and not so much a bump and run, not so much a man coverage, just a little more physical at the line, make these guys, these receivers get rerouted a little bit. And I think that you get that through time, and it's going to be, I'm just excited to see what they can add. And I know that this is going to be an exciting, I'm excited to talk free agency as well. We'll get into all that. Like I said, we'll get into the Colts guys who are free agents. We'll get into who they keep, who they should let go, this and that and the other. We're going to get into a lot of good stuff here in the next couple weeks. So make sure that you guys are kind of hanging around for all of that. Again, sorry for the late podcast throughout the week, but it was necessary, guys. So we're going to have another show probably this week. If not starting the positional breakdowns this week, we'll do that early next week. And we're going to go about every other day. We're going to hit these off, maybe 20, 25-minute shows. We're going to talk about each position. We're not going to get into other teams' free agencies because we don't really know who, I mean, even if they're up for it. You know, the restricted free agents, we don't know who's going to be available out of that group. First rights, all that other good stuff that we're going to get into. We're going to go strictly with the Colts free agents, who they should keep, who should be let go, and all that good stuff. So we'll get into anything and everything at a minimum starting next week. Probably have at least one of the positions or something this week at you know, the next day or two. So thank you again, guys, for a fantastic 2018 season here on the Colts Cast. I would like to find a way to do some more live shows, especially here in the off season. The problem is getting the knuckleheads not to call in from all these weird fan bases and being crazy. So I'm trying to kind of marry the two opportunities there that we have, because those are fun shows. I love doing them. I know that you guys like getting on here and talking shop a little bit. So it's a great time to do it. We're going to get some guests on. We'll have endless draft talk, endless free agency talk as these periods roll along. It's going to be a good time. So make sure you guys are coming back for all this stuff. Try to get it all up on Twitter as often as possible and let you guys know what's coming around the bend. So thank you guys again. I'll talk to you soon right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.
Hi, I'm Karis Fisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Karis Fisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.